Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. And the king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome those not only watching on our regular channels, but also through our pages for Evangelist Alveda King, who works full-time here in our ministry at Priests for Life and has done so for some 15 years now. Welcome to this homily. And brothers and sisters, what a glorious set of readings we have today, talking about the fact that death has been conquered. Talking about the promise of God to do that, and then the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ our Lord. Death has been conquered. What a marvelous way of him expressing that prophecy in this first reading. It's one of my favorite passages of the Old Testament, Isaiah 25. On the mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide this feast of rich food and choice wines, and the feast is the victory of life. He will destroy death forever. See how he describes it. The veil that is veiled over all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. Because it's universal. The curse of death is universal. Every human being who is conceived and born must also face death. So it is a web woven over all nations, no exception. And yet the Lord, he's the one who made us. In the book of Genesis, we see him speak a word, and we'll come back to the theme of the word here shortly. He speaks a word and life comes out of nothingness. He created us out of nothingness. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that we often find it easier to believe in creation than in resurrection, but really the creation is the greater marvel because there was nothing there before. Once he's created us, he's brought us out of nothing, and we've already risen from the dead, and were we not dead 100 years ago, 500 years ago? How are we now here? That's more of a marvel. He created us out of nothing, and to keep us in existence is also a marvel. That death is just a temporary separating of the soul and the body, but that he will keep us in existence is no more difficult to accept and believe than the fact that he brought us into existence from nothing. So God speaks his word at the beginning of creation, and life comes out of nothingness. And the Book of Wisdom tells us that God does not hate anything of what he made. He does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. He does not rejoice in death. In fact, death was not part of his plan. And the Book of Wisdom goes on to say, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. See, the devil wants to be God. He knows he can't. He knows he can't. And he can't destroy God. So he does the next best thing. He destroys what's made in the image of God, which is human life. Death entered the world by the envy of the devil, by the original sin, by our turning away from God. Death is not from God. It's from turning away from God. But as soon as we did that and we brought the curse of death upon ourselves, God said, but I will not turn against you. And he said in that same book of Genesis account in chapter 3, that this ancient serpent, the devil or Satan, would be crushed by the heel of the offspring of the woman, the offspring of our first mother. Indeed, God promised from that very first day of sin entering the human story that there would be victory over sin. He promised from that very first moment that the curse of death made its way into our human story that it would be overcome, the serpent's head would be crushed. And so we see that promise throughout the prophecies, looking ahead to the one who would destroy death by his own freely accepted death. We look ahead and we see Isaiah saying, there's a feast that the Lord is preparing because he brought you into existence because he wants you to live, not because he wants you to die. Come, all nations, and believe in this promise and look to the day when will be able to say death is behind us. We live our whole lives with death being in front of us, but the day is coming when it will be behind us, and yet, behold, we will live. And we will rejoice and we will say, here is the Lord to whom we looked to save us. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. And we share in that joy in an anticipatory way now because we know he has saved us. We know that there's a deed that has already been accomplished. What is that deed? Well, if Isaiah says the Lord has spoken, again, reminding us of how he created us out of nothingness, he spoke, let there be light. Let us make man in our own image. And he continues to speak. He speaks, his word is life. It's the word of life. My word, Isaiah 55 says, will not return to me empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Well, friends, the purpose for which he sent it is life. Just as the rain does not return without watering the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, multiplying the growth, so is the word of God. It's the word of life. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. I am the resurrection and the life. I came that they may have life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why did Jesus Christ come? It's for life. It's for conquering death. We read in the prophecy of Ezekiel, very, very explicitly in Ezekiel, I will open your graves, Ezekiel 37, and have you rise from them, O my people. I will open your graves and have you rise from them. The prophecies are clear. And when Jesus is speaking and teaching in his public ministry, he talks about the resurrection. And he says, all will rise on the last day. We say it in the creed, right? I look forward to the resurrection of the dead. All will rise. But then Jesus says, the good, those who have embraced him by faith and kept faithful in their actions, the good will rise, the just will rise to the resurrection of life. But the wicked, who by their lack of faith, by their rejection of Christ, and by their wicked deeds, They will rise too, but they will rise to the judgment of condemnation. All will be gathered before the throne, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And the just will come into eternal life, and the wicked to eternal damnation. And this is reflected in today's gospel, isn't it? The feast, the picking up on the theme of Isaiah in the first reading, that the Lord is preparing this banquet of eternal life, a banquet reflected also in the psalm we prayed from Psalm 23, you set a feast before me. It's life, the feast of life. Jesus also points out, you know, it's not just a free meal. You've got to be prepared. What's this thing about the, first of all, you see that the urgency of the Father. He wants nobody excluded. We believe in the Catholic faith. The Christian, Catholic means universal. The Christian faith is universal. God invites everyone to this banquet of life, but not without preparation. I mean, if we're going to embrace the life of God eternally, it's a share in God's life. We've got to be like him. We've got to be rejecting evil. We've got to be rejecting falsehood. We've got to repent. We've got to burn out the evil from our lives. And that's why, yes, you see the urgency of the king. Go out and find everyone you can. Go invite everybody, good and bad alike. Good and bad alike. But the bad are called to become good. You invite them to the feast of life, and they are to reject the ways of death. Sin is the way of death. Again, sin brought death. So if you're going to invite the bad to the banquet of eternal life, what do you have to do? You have to reject death. Therefore, you have to reject sin. So the good have to change. Everybody who comes, the good and the bad have to change, and the good have to become better. Everybody who's invited to the banquet of life must be wearing that wedding garment. Wedding garment. Because, as he says in the prophecy of Isaiah, your maker has become your husband. God enters into a covenant way of life with us. He marries us. The marriage in the new and eternal covenant was consummated on the cross. This is my body given for you, or my blood shed for you. That's what the Mass here is. That's what we're doing. We're renewing our marriage vows that we will be faithful to Christ. We can't run around inventing doctrines of our own or changing the gospel that has been handed on to us once for all and do whatever in the world we want, make a covenant with death. Prophet Jeremiah says your covenant with death will be annulled. We make a covenant with death when we sin. We make a covenant with death when we embrace the culture of death. The bad must change. And we all have our share of dabbling in the bad, don't we? We all sin. But we have to put on a wedding garment. The king comes to this man and he says, how is it that you're here without a wedding garment? You've got to be prepared. Jesus Christ, my friend, has abolished death. Jesus said in John chapter 8, when he was preaching to the Jewish crowd, he says, you know, the devil is a liar and a murderer. He lied to our first parents. He brought them to the point of rebellion, and death came into the world. Lies and murder go together. But then in the first letter of John, chapter 3, John says, the Son of God came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. What are those works of the devil? Well, compare John chapter 8. The works of the devil are lying and murdering. The Son of God, 1 John 3, came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. So if you're going to destroy the lies, well, you are truth. If you're going to destroy the murder, you are life. And that's why in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to the Father because I'm the truth that destroys the lies of the devil and the life that destroys death. And therefore, as Paul says to Timothy in his second letter, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 6, we know that Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more power over him. Remember, we are the body of Christ, so death has no more power over us. if we, like Paul says to the Corinthians, are joined as members of his body, as we, if as John relates in John chapter 15, Jesus said during the Last Supper, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you have no life, you can do nothing. But we have that life in Christ. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author says, the children share in blood and flesh. Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. We are to be free from that fear of death. As Paul says to the Corinthians, quoting the prophecy of Hosea, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And he says, the last enemy to be destroyed, at the end, when all have risen, will be death. The trumpet shall sound, he says, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Paul writes to the Thessalonians to assure them with this as well and says, at the Lord's coming, those who have died will rise and we will be caught up with the Lord and with one another forever. And he said, console one another with this message. Console one another with the vision that John had in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. I saw new heavens and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth has passed away. And then he said, in that holy city to which we are traveling, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning or wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. This is the gospel of life. And if we are to rejoice in this promise, as we must, we have a command to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says to the Philippians. I say it again, rejoice. Because death has been conquered. It doesn't have the last word. Some people think the human story is birth, life, and death. No, the human story is life, death, and resurrection. Every farewell that we give to a friend or a loved one who has died, it's a temporary farewell. We can be sad and weep just like Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, but at the same time, we don't let that sorrow have the last word. It's okay to be sad that we don't see our friend or loved one anymore, but it would be wrong to think that we won't see them again. We can weep, but as Paul says again, do not weep as those who have no hope. Grieve, yes, weep with Jesus who wept at the tomb of Lazarus, but then also hear his words, Lazarus, come out! He called him out of that grave. Come forth! Rise, let us leave this place, because I did not create you for the grave. I did not create you to be back to dust and ashes. I created you to be with me, and the kingdom, the wedding feast, has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord will provide a feast. He will remove the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. He has destroyed death. Now it's just a matter of us clinging to that Lord of life, rejecting the practices of death, rejecting falsehood, rejecting lies, rejecting hatred, rejecting abortion, rejecting this notion that somehow we can kill babies in order to advance our life or the life of our society, that somehow we can hate, that somehow we can lash out. No, let's reject every sin. Let's put on the wedding garment and let's take part in the feast. Death has been conquered, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen. Let us proclaim it and let us change this world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.